Wisdom is available to any who will listen. It's the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year, and it's Poetry Thursday. Our reading will be Proverbs 8 and 9. I'm calling this episode Find an Eager Listener, and it's Maundy Thursday. What is that? I'll let you know a little bit later. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for the Proverbs and the wisdom that is contained in its pages. I pray, Lord, today that as we read, you would give us wisdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's go. Proverbs chapter 8. Listen, wisdom is calling out. Reason is making herself heard. On the hilltops near the road, and at the crossroads she stands. At the entrance to the city beside the gates she calls, I appeal to all of you, I call to everyone on earth. Are you immature? Listen to be mature. Are you foolish? Listen to have sense. Listen to my excellent words. All I tell you is right. What I say is the truth. Lies are hateful to me. Everything I say is true. Nothing is false or misleading. To those with insight, it is all clear. To the well-informed, it is all plain. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Choose knowledge rather than the finest gold. I am wisdom. I am better than jewels. Nothing you want can compare with me. I am wisdom, and I have insight. I have knowledge and sound judgment. To honor the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil ways and false words. I make plans and carry them out. I have understanding, and I am strong. I help kings to govern and rulers to make good laws. Every ruler on earth governs with my help, officials and nobles alike. I love those who love me. Whoever looks for me can find me. I have riches and honor to give, prosperity and success. What you get from me is better than the finest gold, better than the purest silver. I walk the way of righteousness. I follow the paths of justice, giving wealth to those who love me, filling their houses with treasures. The Lord created me first of all, the first of his works, long ago. I was made in the very beginning, at the first, before the world began. I was born before the oceans, when there were no springs of water. I was born before the mountains, before the hills were set in place, before God made the earth and its fields, or even the first handful of soil. I was there when he set the sky in place, when he stretched the horizon across the ocean, when he placed the clouds in the sky, when he opened the springs of the ocean and ordered the waters of the sea to rise no further than he said. I was there when he laid the earth's foundations. I was beside him like an architect. I was his daily source of joy, always happy in his presence, happy with the world, and pleased with the human race. Now, young people, listen to me. Do as I say, and you will be happy. Listen to what you are taught. Be wise. Do not neglect it. Those who listen to me will be happy, those who stay at my door every day, waiting at the entrance to my home. Those who find me find life, and the Lord will be pleased with them. Those who do not find me hurt themselves. Anyone who hates me loves death. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house and made 7 columns for it. She has had an animal killed for a feast, mixed spices in the wine, and set the table. She has sent her servant women to call out from the highest place in town, "Come in, ignorant people." And to the foolish she says, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave the company of ignorant people and live. Follow the way of knowledge." If you correct conceited people, you will only be insulted. If you reprimand evil people, you will only get hurt. Never correct conceited people. They will hate you for it. But if you correct the wise, they will respect you. Anything you say to the wise will make them wiser. Whatever you tell the righteous will add to their knowledge. To be wise, you must first have reverence for the Lord. If you know the Holy One, you have understanding. Wisdom will add years to your life. You are the one who will profit if you have wisdom. and if you reject it, you are the one who will suffer. Stupidity is like a loud, ignorant, shameless woman. She sits at the door of her house or on a seat in the highest part of town and calls out to people passing by who are minding their own business, "Come in, ignorant people." To the foolish, she says, "Stolen water is sweeter. Stolen bread tastes better." Her victims do not know that the people die who go to her house, that those who have already entered are now deep in the world of the dead.
Well, beloved, today I've got thoughts on both Proverbs 8 and 9. Wisdom in Proverbs 8 is again personified as a woman. And at the beginning of the chapter, she calls out from the hilltops, at the crossroads, at the entrance to the city, to everyone on earth. Wisdom is available to any who will listen, not only to the learned, but even the most humble. When I first began to think about this truth, I thought of Forrest Gump when he said,
"I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is."
You know, even though it was fairly obvious in watching the film that he truly was not smart, he did learn a certain amount of wisdom, didn't he? Much more than the woman he loved who was smarter than he was. Bible commentator Derek Kidner wrote this about Proverbs 8. "A chapter which is to soar beyond time and space opens at street level to make it clear, first, that the wisdom of God is as relevant to the shopping center as to heaven itself." Commentator Dwayne Garrett had this to say, "The important point is that wisdom is for ordinary people. She's not confined to the academic classroom or to sacred precincts of the temple. Nor is she high atop some mountain where only the hardiest and most determined will find her. To the contrary, she wants to attract all and be accessible to all." And Adam Clark said this, "There are, it is true, temples, synagogues, churches, chapels, etc. But hundreds of thousands never frequent them, and therefore do not hear the voice of truth. Wisdom, therefore, must go to them if she wishes them to receive her instructions. Hence, the zealous ministers of Christ go still to the highways and hedges, to the mountains and plains, to the ships and the cottages, to persuade sinners to turn from the error of their ways and accept that redemption which was procured by the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ." Yes, beloved, it is true that it is up to us to go to those who do not know Jesus. But in Proverbs 9, there is a warning. In our translation today, Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8 said, "If you correct conceited people, you will only be insulted. If you reprimand evil people, you will only get hurt. Never correct conceited people, they will hate you for it. But if you correct the wise, they will respect you." And that's in the Good News translation that we read today. But the New American Standard and several other translations render the verses like this: "He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." This is a much better, more accurate translation, in my opinion. Of the scoffer, commentator Alan P. Ross wrote, "He is the person who will not live by wise and moral teachings and is not content to let others do so without his cynical mocking." Most of us have known scoffers, haven't we? Especially those who scoff at Christians. Proverbs 9 tells us what to expect when we try to share the truth of the gospel with them. In my experience, it's better to follow Jesus' advice in Matthew 10:14. Jesus said, "If anyone will not welcome you, or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that house or town." Yes, I think we should pray for them, but don't give them a lot of your time or effort. Instead, find the wise person who will listen. He will, as the second half of verse 8 here in Proverbs 9 says, he will love you. Think of the person who brought you to Christ. Chances are good that you have very good feelings about that person. Tell me about that person in the comments. I've told you that my friend Dell is the one who invited me to the church where I gave my heart to the Lord. Yes, it's the same Dell who's married to Kathy, who we have been praying for. Yes, I do love Dell. I thank God that he brought Dell into my life. Tell me about the one who introduced you to Jesus. I really want to hear about him. Who is that person for you? Let me know. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or let me know in a Boostergram or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Tell me about the person that brought you to the Lord. Tomorrow will be Prophecy Friday and we'll read Ezekiel 19 through 24. Today's associate producer is LifeSpring Family Berean Brother Paul of Seattle, who came in with his monthly $20 donation. Thank you so much, Brother Paul. God bless you.
Boostergram!
And LifeSpring Family Berean Brother Sean of
San Pedro
sent his 5,000 sat loaves and fishes Boostergram, this time commenting on the Psalms 78 to 80. The Confession episode, where I also talked about the Trinity in the Essentials segment. And Brother Sean said, regarding the Trinity, the food and water descriptions fall short in the opposite way of the title and role description. For example, I am a father, brother, and son, but I am not a different thing. Nothing quite works. Yes, that's true, Brother Sean, and you're only one person. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each different persons in the Trinity. God is one, but at the same time, three distinct persons. And then Sean continues, as someone who used to play a lot of video games, I sometimes envision it like an MMORPG developer. I had to look that up. That means massively multiplayer online role-playing game, which is why they use the abbreviation MMORPG. Anyway, envision it like an MMORPG developer logging in as a playable character. I'm sure this is flawed too, but it seems to match better than the other analogies. Let's see, so if I understand you correctly, Brother Sean, you log in as a developer and then your character is then an extension of you. It does what you tell it through the controller, right? Well, the obvious difference I see there is that each person in the Trinity has free will. The Son is not controlled by the Father the same way a game character is controlled by the player. The Son chooses to do the Father's will. So that's the difference there. It is an interesting idea, though, Brother Sean. Not being a gamer, I would have never thought of that scenario. So thank you for that, Brother Sean. God bless you.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
New mail notification.
Steve Dew sent this note in. He said, I love, love, love Philippians 4. Such a beautiful chapter, which masterfully encapsulates a key part of the promise of God and one of the first blessings I noticed since becoming a believer recently. This coming Monday, April 10th, will be my first anniversary of being saved. Best year of my life so far. Hallelujah. God has worked too many miracles for me this past year to list them all now, but one of them is placing lots of wonderful believers in my life who inspire and challenge me to deepen my relationship and walk with Jesus, and I count you as one of them, Steve. Oh, thank you, Steve. He continues, I thank and praise God for all of these brothers and sisters, and may you and the entire LifeSpring family be blessed and have a blessed Holy Week. And he signed, Steve, a.k.a. Sir Fahrenheit. Well, thank you for that, Steve. Your one-year birthday? How cool is that? Here's an early happy birthday for you. And I would love to hear some of the things God has done for you this past year. Isn't he wonderful? And let me tell you, the longer you walk with him and seek his will, the better it gets. Not to say that life here on earth becomes a bed of roses, but the relationship with him gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. I'm so glad you found the Lord, and I'm happy to have you in the LifeSpring family, Steve. Thank you so much for the kind words. God bless you. Today is Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, and of course each day from now to Resurrection Sunday, I'll talk about the events of each day of the final week of Jesus' life, prior to and including his crucifixion and resurrection. On this day, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. We call this the Last Supper, and Jesus did two important things that evening. Luke tells us this in chapter 22, verses 14 to 23. And then the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. So, beloved, Jesus commanded us to observe the Lord's Supper, or some call it communion. And then another important thing Jesus did is found in John 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So in doing this, Jesus demonstrated humility and service. He set an example that we are to love and serve one another in humility. On Maundy Thursday, some churches have a foot washing service to remember what Jesus did for the disciples at the Last Supper. So what does Maundy mean? It comes from the Latin word for command. Jesus commanded that we should break bread and drink wine in remembrance of him, and that we should serve one another in humility. Tomorrow we'll talk about Good Friday. Thanks to today's associate producer, Brother Paul of Seattle, for helping to make this episode possible. God bless you, Brother Paul. And thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, today's artist, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany, the team. And of course, to you, beloved, thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The programs in the LifeSpring Media family are made possible by the generous gifts of people like you.